just like the academic year, kicks off for our kids and for many who are studying. So in the season of a church, we kind of leverage this time in September to kick off new initiatives, to remind people of the mission of God through this particular context, this church. And so today is no different. It's also the launch of a brand new series. We're calling it the Back To series. You would have received an email if you're a member of City Gates or a regular attender. And so everything is outlined in there. And hey, if you guys don't mind putting up the Back To Mission slide, there we go. This is the first week. This is the first, sermon in the series. But there's a couple that will follow from here onwards. I don't have all the dates with me right now, but you can have them online. You can check it out online. So citygates.ca, all the information's there. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We make sure that you're up to date through those avenues as well. So Back To Mission this week, Back To The Mission. But next week, it will be Back To Church. And it's a big weekend, I guess, in North America. I have subscribed to a certain leadership podcast and leadership mailing lists, and I see that this is something they do in North America. There's like this massive drive for people to, you know, go back to the gym and go back to church. That's one of the things people say. So if they've gone to church as a child and they said, this is not for me, this is pretty boring, maybe they have children of their own and they think, oh, I'm going to take it for a spin again. Or maybe they've been in church and people have really hurt them, and so they've had a bad experience, they've got a bad taste in their mouths. Sometimes in the fall, they say, well, I'm going to give it another go. I might not go back to where I used to attend, but let me try somewhere else. And so we as a church want to take this theory for a spin, this theory of people wanting to go back to church. And so I actually have a little handout for each and every one of you. There's something else included related to this morning. But can I ask that Mike and your merry men, if you don't mind, just making sure that everybody's got one in their hands this morning. So while the cards go around, I'll just go through the rest of the sermon series. The next week, we'll have Back To Serving. It's actually not the week following immediately after Back To Church, because we won't be meeting here on Sunday, the 25th of September, because we're doing something else. So Back To Serving will be the following week. We're going to profile our serving teams. We need more hands on deck. There are new initiatives that we need new people for. And so we're going to honor our serving teams, listen to what they do, and give you an opportunity to sign up and get in on the action as well. So that's Back To Serving. Let's get some hands dirty, it says. The following week, we will do Back To The Bible, I think. And we're asking this question, can you trust the Bible? Because the weeks after that, we'll be preaching from the first 12 chapters in Genesis. And so we want to invite people to come and join us here at City Gates. They likely won't be Christ followers. They may not think that the Bible is a holy book that is set apart, that stands apart from the other holy books that there are out there. Why should I trust the Bible? Is it trustworthy? When was it written? Who wrote it? Questions like that to obviously put tools in your hand to once again realize that this is an incredible book that we have access to. But also to give them the confidence and the courage to open the pages and journey with us and saying, perhaps there is something in here. We know there is. They think that perhaps there is. We want them to discover that. And so the whole week will be focused on the authenticity of Scripture. Can it be trustworthy? Is it authoritative? Those are the questions that we will be answering on that week. Because the week after that, we're starting the first 12 chapters of Genesis. We're starting to preach through it. It's called Back To The Beginning, where it all began. And it'll be sermons on Genesis 1 through 12. And I'm very excited about that. The seedbeds of humanity, the reasons why things went wrong. Today, we're still standing on the shoulders of Adam and Eve, our great-great-great-grandparents. And we're also standing in the promises that God made to mankind right in the beginning there. And there's so much to discover, so much of Jesus locked away in the passages and in the pages that I'm so excited about to discover with you. So I don't know how long that will go on. It'll go on indefinitely. But as long as it takes Genesis 1 to 12, we're committed to preaching through all of Scripture, not just the easy parts and the nice parts, right? And then there's a few other once-offs. Back to the Spirit. We'll have a guest speaker with us. Alan and Renelle Frau will be with us beginning of November. And I've asked Alan to speak to us about what it means to be Spirit-empowered and to look at the life of Jesus in particular If there's a great example of anybody who's filled and led by the Spirit, is Jesus Christ himself, who's a model for us. And so he'll be with us on that particular weekend. It's in the middle of, or sort of early November. Back to the Spirit. We will also do the next one, which is Back to the Future. We can't steal their artwork and not actually have a Back to the Future session. And this is on eschatology. It says the eschatology for dummies. The eschatology is the study of the end times. And I know some of you may have read the Left Behind series. That's not the only theory, by the way, in terms of Jesus' return. So we're going to lay the cards out on the table, probably let you into what our view is on this disputable matter, really. It's not something that a hill that we will die on. We take the simple words of Jesus that he's coming back again. You'll see some of that this morning out of Acts chapter 1. We take that very seriously. But the details around it, we're not going to fight over it. We're not going to start a war. But we're going to present some of the stuff to you. So we're going to go back to the future. What can we anticipate? How can we expect the return of Christ? And that'll also be sometime in the future. Who knows when? And then is there another one there? No, that's about it. Okay, so if you have your Bibles with you, won't you turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We're going to go from verse 8 unto verse 11. As usual, the scripture will be up on the screen. If you don't have your Bibles with you, you can follow along with me over there. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to pray for myself before I read. I generally pray after I read, but I feel I need to do it now. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for your mission. Thank you that you have decided to include us in your work. That's no small thing. That the God of the universe, who spoke everything into being, who's pretty self-sufficient, would say, hey, won't you join me in making good and doing good? Won't you join me in renewing? Won't you join me in what I am doing? That's an amazing thing, that you would include me, that you would include us. And so today, it's not just going through the motions. We're not just regurgitating things that we've said before. We're not just coming up with some clever ideas to keep us busy for the next year. Jesus, I pray that we will see that this is your mandate that we get to partner with. This is your doing that you're including us in. And it's a real privilege. And so help us to hear all of these aspects with fresh ears. Help us to see it anew. Help us to stay focused and help us to stay on track. Help us to go back to the mission. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, verse 8, Acts chapter 1. Jesus, he's raised from the dead. He's appeared to his disciples many times, small groups, large groups. And this is he's about to ascend into heaven. And so the crowd is together. He says, when they had come together, this is Luke that have penned the book of Acts for us here. Luke was an investigative journalist. He was a doctor as well. He wasn't a Jew. And so he, after much studying, recorded these for us, these accounts for us to go back to. And it says, they came together and they asked him, Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? You died on the cross. You've raised from the dead. This is incredible. You are beginning something phenomenal. Is this the time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They still think it's just all about them, their nation. But it was about so much more. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. And they probably were so excited about this because this sounds like Jesus is answering the question. They just asked, is this the time you're going to restore our kingdom of Israel? He says, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. They go, yes, in all of Judea, yes. And then he says, Samaria and the ends of the earth. And all of a sudden, I'm pretty sure these guys are like, what? Whoa, wait a minute. Samaria? Two? We don't like those guys. And I'm pretty sure that they just heard Jerusalem, and the rest was sort of this vague, Samaria and the ends of the earth. They were just like, yeah, Jerusalem, yeah, the kingdom of Israel, restoration, it's coming our way. But Jesus says, you receive power from the Holy Spirit. Because again, if they left it up to themselves, it would have just been Jerusalem. He says, okay, I'm going to send the helper. I'm going to send God the Spirit. Because God the Son is going back to God the Father. I'm going to send God the Spirit, and he will empower you to be a witness. This is the mission. Be my witnesses, not in just in your immediate context, but in the context beyond, the ends of the world. And when he had said these things, verse 9, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. I don't know if it was an eye cloud. I don't know what cloud it was. But there goes Jesus up into heaven. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven, we will come in the same way as you just saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem, it says in verse 12. We don't have that on the screen. But isn't it amazing that Jesus commissions them? There's this spectacular departure, and they stuck. And I think this is the posture of many a Christian, where we perhaps have had an incredible encounter. We met Jesus. Maybe it was like Paul. You got knocked off your horse. It was a bright light. Everything changed for a few days. Your ears were ringing almost. It's just so consumed with this drastic encounter with Christ. Maybe you journeyed. It was some time. You asked questions. You got some answers. And over time, you realized, I believe this thing. This is true. Jesus is who he said he is. There's evidence of him working in my life. I think I'm filled with the Spirit. Maybe that's your story, a bit more of a gradual process. But you've had this encounter with Jesus. You can remember it. But then what happened? You're a little stuck. You're gazing up into the sky. There's these fond memories of when you met Jesus, and nothing else is taking place. And these angels are like, eyes down here. Hey, guys, you've got work to do. Why are you staring out? He's coming back again. He keeps his promises, but you need to go back to Jerusalem. You need to wait for the Holy Spirit. And you almost see this pattern again. They go to Jerusalem. They get up in the upper room. They lock the doors. They pray together. They huddle. You know, what does this all mean? And the Spirit of God had to come so they can get out of the room into the streets. And you know what happened? The Spirit of God came. And it was revival. On one day, 3,000 people committed their lives to Christ, saying, I want to follow him. It was an incredible thing. But what happened? It stayed in Jerusalem. You know, for the first 10 years, actually, there was no Samaria. There was no ends of the earth at that stage. And God had to send persecution. He had to scatter them to take them from this to, wait, there's a job to be done. And as they were scattered and they went into Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth, this great commission starting to be fulfilled. And the next 20 years were phenomenal. The known world in that day got to hear the gospel. But they had to take their eyes off sort of these nostalgic memories of the days when Jesus was at work in my life and when I met him. To that, wait a minute, the job isn't done yet. It ain't over. And I want to use today as an opportunity for us, because it can happen over the summer. Over the summer, we can sit back down in our Muskoka chairs, right, and enjoy the sunshine. We're on holiday. And what can happen to us is we could easily just go, And then September arrives. And then we say, no. Put the chair away. Get your full jackets out. How do you do it here, eh? Rearrange your closets. Bring out the sub-zero temperature jackets. The season's changing. We got to go back to the mission. We've enjoyed the outdoors for some time, but it's time to now use the energy that God put back into us as we rested. It's time to pour it out, right? Back to the mission. And so what's the mission of City Gates? I'm not going to spend too much time on you. You know what it is. Can you tell me our manifesto is? Absolutely. Nothing has changed, people. This is just our version of what Jesus told the disciples to do 2,000 years ago. We're a 21st century church with a first century mandate. Nothing's changing. We're helping people find and follow Jesus. The specific way that we're doing this is we do discipleship. We walk a road with people. There's friendship. There's relationship. It's not hit-and-run evangelism. It's not once-off meetings. We maximize those times, but our bias, our intent is to pursue relationship with someone, to walk a road with them, to disciple them, to have a teacher-student relationship, for there to be proximity, for there to be when you meet together often, not once, what's the word?
Frequency.
There we go. Proximity, there should be. Frequency. Oh, you guys are fantastic. Discipleship. It happens through demonstrating the gospel. Just look at me. Look at how I live. Look at what I say yes to. Look at what I say no to. The decisions I make in my life. Look at how I handle hardship. Look at how I handle praise. There's a demonstration of the gospel in my life. But there's also a declaration that as they see you behave very differently, pursue different things in life, react differently to different situations, they ask, what's going on with you? What do you eat for breakfast? And you say, well, it's not really breakfast. There's a declaration of the gospel, it's Jesus, in my life. And then the discipleship starts, hopefully. Let's do coffee. Hey, let's do this again. Here's a Bible. Read this. Let's get together. Any questions, I'd love to answer them. We start the discipleship process. Demonstration and a declaration of the gospel. We do that in five main areas, just to make it easy to remember. Next slide. We do that on Sundays. It's a biggie. Everybody say after me, Sundays are fun days. Always. Please do not come to church on a Sunday looking like it's not a fun day, right? We put our smiles on, we're excited, we get you a little early. Sundays are fun days. When we sing like we mean it. We just, our Sundays are a declaration and a demonstration at the same time. Before I get up here and open up the Bible, people should go, man, these people are happy. Something's going on here. Because Sundays are fun days. So Sundays is obviously is how we demonstrate and declare. It's a biggie. It happens every week, week in and week out. 50-odd Sundays are here. But then also in small groups. We do our small groups in three sections in the year. We meet for 10 weeks at a time, and then we take a break. Our small groups are going to launch again in the next week or two, depending on the small group leader. Say after me, big things happen in small groups. Say after me, Sundays are fun days.
Sundays are fun days.
Circles are better than rows.
Circles are better than rows.
Here are our rows, here are our circles. Because actually, discipleship can only happen so much on a Sunday. I mean, we're going to have some good coffee together afterwards, but you know what? 20 minutes, it's just shooting the breeze. I'm not going to get in under your skin, and you're probably not going to get in under mine. But 10 weeks together around a meal at someone's house, now we're talking. So circles are actually better than rows. I love the rows. We're not going to can Sundays. These are important times. But small groups, too. And we're launching them soon. If you're not in a small group, do sign up for one. Big things happen in small groups. But we also do it through socials. Say after me, I don't just want to be friendly. I want to be a friend. It's important that a social is not just being friendly, but discipleship happens, which is being friends. We're a church, we don't just want to be friendly. I love it when I meet new people and they say, well, you're so friendly on a Sunday. It's fantastic. But if it ends there, we're not doing discipleship. Don't just want to be friendly, but we want to be friends. What do friends do? They hang out. They socialize. You don't have to have a Bible study every time you come together. You can watch a movie. You can go ice skating. You can play street hockey. You can knit. What's the word? Road hockey. Street. Yeah, the road, street's kind of the same thing, you know. Go watch a Jays game. Do things together. Be normal, right? Yes. So socials are an important one. But then also through service. We serve. We don't just want to do things for our community because that sounds a bit prideful. Like we want to serve Ajax. Like they need us. Yeah, they kind of do, but, you know, we haven't really made a dent yet. We come humbly. We say we don't do things for the city. We do things with the city. So we find out what's Ajax doing to help the marginalized. What's Whitby doing to help the people that are struggling? What's Oshawa doing? And let's come alongside them. Let's support them. Let's recognize that what they're doing is there's a grace on it. There's the image of God somehow. They may not say it's for God or because of God, but we know it is as they help their fellow mankind. And so we partner with them. We do that with Winborn. We go do some stuff at the seniors' home. I know it's still happening. And Lawrence and Liz and Mike and Edwina are very involved there. Speak to them about it. But there's also Joanne's house. Perhaps we'll pick up the meals with those kids again through our small groups this term. And then there's Set Free Durham, some of the initiatives that members of our church are a part of that helps to and wants to see the human trafficking come to an end here in the Durham region. There's a massive prayer meeting, by the way, that happens on September the 25th that you'll find out about, that we're all praying together specifically around this aspect. And so we serve, not just for the city, but with the city, and we're looking for initiatives to do that. I'll talk about that in a second, something that we can do together. And then lastly, subcultures. Subculture really helps you with the social aspect. That's the stuff that you're into. You know, the things that like, man, I love gaming. Like, I am a gamer. Or I absolutely love paddleboarding. That's my thing. I'm a kayaker. I'm a fisherman. Everybody's got that thing that they love to do. An artist, a musician. And use your subcultures. You've got a sphere of influence that others cannot go to. If you're so into knitting, I promise you I'm not going to reach your friends who knit. That's not my thing. That's Brett's thing, okay? He's got a circle of friends there that I would never reach because of his interests. So we leverage our subcultures. I love that. Get into it. Baseball is one of those subcultures. And I want to commend Paul and his team around him. Can we give Paul a massive round of applause? Paul, won't you stand up so everybody knows who Paul is? That's Paul. Paul heads up our baseball team. Last year we had one team. The year before, I think we also only had one. This year we had two teams playing. They did pretty okay. And it was, you know, it's got nothing to do with the ability of coaching. There's some things that coaching just can never fix, you know. But we've had so much fun getting to know these guys. And we're at that stage now where there's some relationships, some deeper than others, where I think we can take it to the next level. Come join us on our Alpha course. Come and join us for a Sunday. Come join us for our Back to Church Sunday. We're right there. And baseball has been an incredible tool to reach friends and family members, work colleagues almost primarily, with the gospel as we play a really fun game alongside them. So well done, Paul and your crew, for doing that so faithfully and doing it so excellently. Okay, so that's the mission. Nothing's changed. We're just going to take this to the next level this year. And we've got some cool initiatives to work this out. The first one is Run Ajax. We can go up to the next slide. Run Ajax is happening on September the 25th, two weeks from now. And it's a half marathon. It's a 5-kilometer run as well as a 1-kilometer fun run for kids. And last year, I participated in this event. I will participate again in this event. But my dream was last year for us as a church to serve at this event. They raised some funds for a child's home somewhere. So there's a charity organization, not one that we're affiliated with, but they do some good through this event. But thousands of people are, you know, come down to the Ajax waterfront and have a great day together. Afterwards, there's some tents and some, you know, areas for picnic and having lunch together. It's a wonderful community event, and I would love for us, I wanted us to serve there. I asked them last year, never heard from anyone. I asked early this year, sent emails to the volunteer, didn't hear anything from them. And about a month ago, the organizer of the volunteers got hold of me and said, I'm so sorry, for some reason your emails slipped through the cracks. I don't know why I never saw this, but we would love for your community to be a part of what we do and to serve. We're actually in desperate need. She was so worried, what am I going to do? We need so many hands on deck. I don't have enough volunteers. And then she discovered my email. And so my wife and I met with her on Friday and said, what do you like us to do? And they need road marshals because of all the construction that is taking place in South Ajax. Ever been to the waterfront recently? They're building condos and all sorts of things, rearranging roads. The race is taking place in between some of that construction, and runners are tired, they do get lost, they sometimes want to take a shortcut, and they would really like for us to stand there. We are allowed to brand ourselves. They said, absolutely, tell us who you are. So it's an opportunity for City Gates, again, to have visibility in our community. It's for us to have an actual fingerprint and a footprint, because I remember City Gates. You guys were at the Run Ajax event, and they'll station us all along. I'll give you all the details. You could sign up online tomorrow if you go to citygates.ca/runajax. I'll send an email out as well. But we need at least 30 volunteers. But I said to her, man, I'm going to shoot for 60. Because this is not something City Gates can do. It's so easy to invite your friends, saying, I'm going to spend my Sunday and not go to church. I'm going to stand on the side of the road and helping an event be successful and give of my time. Get up earlier than you would have for Sunday morning and probably stay a little longer. And then afterwards, we can all get together and have a great lunch on the lawn there. But I'm so excited about this. Are you excited about us doing something together as a community I'm pretty pumped about that. And so Jesus said, come to me. He didn't say come to church. He said to the church, the people, he says, you go to them. And Run Ajax is one of the ways that we go to the people. I'm so excited about that. We don't go to church. We are a church that goes. Say that after me. We don't go to church.
We don't go to church.
We're a church that goes. Yeah. And apart from society, we're a part of society too. We are apart from, but we're also a part of. Of course, our home is heaven. Our Lord is Jesus. Our Prime Minister is Jesus Christ. I mean, we're apart from this world, but we're also a part of this world. And this is one of the ways that we live that out. So we go and tell, we be an example. I'm very excited about Run Ajax. More information to follow pretty shortly. Then also, our primary corporate discipleship thing that we'll do that's more like a small group, like a meeting, is Alpha. Alpha will launch on October the 6th. We finally got a date. And for the next October the 6th, 11 weeks, including the 6th, we will be meeting together in a space with some of our friends and family members, exploring the claims and teachings of Jesus. There's a meal, a short video, and a bit of discussion. About an hour and a half's worth of time. It's free for them. It's no obligation. There is no sign-ups. There's no follow-ups. It's just come, join us, let's talk. And I'm very excited about that. We've trained some volunteers. We've immersed ourselves a bit into the Alpha culture. I met with the Alpha coordinator for Ontario again this week. He's so excited for us as a church to pursue this. More information to follow. If you go to citygates.ca/alpha, you'll be able to see a few things as well. We put some videos up there and all of that. This is an opportunity for us where we say to people, you don't have to come to church, but you must come to Jesus. We know that coming to church is a byproduct of coming to Jesus. But come, hear about him. I'm so excited about Alpha. Just imagine if each one of us could just trust that one person in our circle of friends, through Alpha, through small groups, through socials, through our subcultures, through serving, yeah, through Sundays, but let's trust God that one person in your circle of friends, let me not say one person, one friend, there's got to be relationship. One somebody that you've got some history with, they do not know Jesus. If there's nobody like that in your life, that's your assignment. Find a friend who does not know Jesus and introduce them to him. But wouldn't it be great if one of your friends, over the next 12 months, our next year, comes to know Jesus? Does that sound unrealistic? How much ground can you cover over 12 months relationally with somebody? How many coffees and breakfasts and dinners can you have with someone? How many kind things can you do in 12 months to somebody because Jesus is at work in your life? I think it's very possible. And then if they come to faith because of your discipleship and demonstration and declaration of the gospel, perhaps they think, well, that's what a Christian does. And the next year, one of their friends in their circle comes to know Jesus as well. Wouldn't that be incredible? Is that an unrealistic thing to aim at? It sounds pretty manageable, doesn't it? Okay, let's press pause right there. Tell me what this is. Next slide. It's not a trick question. Just tell me what it is. It's a coffee. What's the standard sort of Timmy's coffee that you get here? A double-double, right? A double-double. Now, I think that our manifesto is our mission statement, of course, helping people find and follow Jesus. There's some values attached to it to help us. But how do you measure that? How do we know that we're actually getting it right? And a friend of mine have explained it like maybe there is a mountain range. That's our manifesto. The mountain range is helping people find and follow Jesus. But then there is a peak, something that sticks out. It's like the sharp edge of what we do. And I want to say, and I want to propose, I want to say this is almost our vision. Our mission is to help people find and follow Jesus. But our vision, which can change once you reach your goal, I think our vision should be double-double. Now, let me explain that. I believe it's within our reach and God's power that we as a church could double every year for the next 2 years. Now, if I started off with that, maybe you would have gone, that's a big ask. What if it doesn't happen? What if 6 months in, it's the exact same amount of people in this room? How embarrassing would that be? I don't want egg on my face. Is this the church for me? I don't know. You know, if I say, come guys, we're going to double every year for the next 2 years. Double, double. We all know about this thing. Yeah, I think if I started off with this, many of you would have gone, oh, he's nuts. He's crazy. Has he been? He's not even been here 2 years yet. It's like 23 months. That's it. It's okay. So put a hold on here. When I spoke to you about one person in your friendship circle coming to faith in 12 months, this one here, and then one of their friends coming to faith the following year because of that, that's double-double. That's literally it is. So the aim isn't numbers. Ooh, we want to have twice as many people in this. No, the aim is your one friend meets Jesus, and when he does, or when she does, she wants to share Jesus, and he wants to share Jesus with his friends. And just, it's a small thing. God, just one of my friends. I mean, you should have more than one friend. I know some of you, it's maybe a stretch, but I'm pretty sure you have more than one friend. So I'm not, look, God is almighty, and maybe seven of your friends, if you have seven friends, will come to know Jesus. But I trust at least one of the seven or 70, depending on how popular you are. It's not a crazy ask. In fact, it's maybe too small. Maybe as we say that, we go double, double. No, now that sounds tiny. Because I'm sure I can share the gospel with more than one. I'm sure I can walk a road with more than one. Friends, this is within our reach. So I want to put double, double before you, saying this is what we as a leadership team are praying through, trusting God for, this double, double thing. But the way that it looks like in your life is you just work your field. You just do you. You just, the people that God's given you, the friends, you just focus on that. Just start with this. God, I want to ask that John, I work with John in the office, we had a couple of lunches together. I pray, Lord, that this year I would be used in reaching John for you. That's it. That's your prayer in the morning. That's your prayer when you go to bed. When you're at work, you ask God, Lord, what should I say? How should I be? What should I give him? And you just watch God at work. And if all of us do that, I have no doubt that we would have the first double down. And then 1 year in, imagine, next year, we say we baptized 60 adults. Wouldn't that be so amazing? You know, last year we baptized 15. And we were in transition and all of this stuff. Look, I have so much faith that this is doable. I've been speaking about double-double with our leadership team for about a year, not wanting to let the cat out the bag, but I feel it is time. I feel like God has set us up to do this. But this means every single person understands that helping people find and follow Jesus is their job, not just ours. It's not just the 20% carrying 80% of the people. It's 100% of the people doing 100% of the work. When 100% of the people do 100% of the work, it means everybody does 1%. It's amazing. But when 20% of people carry 80% of the work, do the math. Hey, each person does 5%. No, 4%, somewhere around there. It's more. All hands on deck. City Gates, are you with me?
Yes.
Say double, double.
Double.
Say double, double.
Double.
Please, Lord. And doubles happen with the singles in your life. Hey? I'll find a way of saying that next time. Okay. We are going to carry on until 12 o'clock, just so you know. Just because it's a back to mission moment. So we've got 15 minutes left. Are you still buoyant? You still full of faith? Fantastic. Okay. When you bring strategy to any vision, it can be a bit more specific. And it can often be divisive because you're not just saying what we're going to do, you're also saying how we're going to do it. And so I understand that this can rattle some feathers, can be overwhelming, but talk to me. Talk to us as a leadership team, because strategy is taking the vague mountain range and moving it towards a peak. And I trust that this is what we ought to do. Okay, I want to talk to you about one of the avenues that I feel God is going to use, and we have such faith to embrace this and run with this thing, and that is engaging and renting a midweek meeting space. A midweek meeting space. It's just around the corner. Most of you have seen it. We've invited you to come out and have a look at it. Next slide. It's called 90 Old Kingston Road. 90 OKR, if you want to shorten it. We don't have a name or any of those things. I mean, it will be an office space, but not primarily. Here's the thing. I can't even think about just having a little space where we have a desk and a printer and you know, a storage space, and it just gets used for administration. That's not our thing. 2 years ago, when I took on the leadership of this church, Alan Frau left us with a word that I've chewed on and marinated in, and we've spoken it through. We've used it as a means to launch the new season with Tan and I at the helm of this church, leading this group of people. And it was that of wells, the metaphor of a well. And he spoke to us out of Genesis 26, where Isaac dug new wells, he unstopped old wells, and he let go of some wells that were contentious, wells that his father had dug. And that became a bit of a template for us as a church, where we said, okay, Mike and Edwina led, we're now the new leaders. What are some of the things that we have to unstop, keep open wells? What are some of the things that it's time to let go? It's time to walk away from those things. And then, are there some new wells that we have to dig? And these last 2 years have really been that. It's been digging a few new wells, have been unblocking old ones, and then walking away from various things. We've made quite a few changes over the last 2 years. But I feel like this particular place is another well that we could dig, a watering hole, a place for people to gather, to come to experience and to taste of the goodness of God. In the beginning, one of the wells that I felt we need to keep open was being a church in the third space. This doesn't belong to us. This is the town of Ajax, converted this amazing church into a theater. But we use it for 4 hours on a Sunday, four times a month, and then we're out. But it's a third space because other people come in here as well, doing other things, having other events. I love that. That's part of the church going. We're in the marketplace. We're not of it, but we're in the world. I love the third space thing. And I feel like, what does our midweek third space look like? That question, I think, is locked up in this new initiative ahead for us. And so I don't want it to just be an office. I want it to be a third space. You get places where people work, where people sleep, and where people play. Those are the three spaces. And you know, we have Sundays, we have small groups, but there's this other space. We want to do Alpha, but where do we do it? We don't own a building. There's this third space that I want us to explore, and I think this is the solution for it. And so I've shared some of this with people in detail. I don't have the time to talk about every bit of detail right now. But I know this place could serve us. In addition to having places where we can do prayer meetings, where we can have our office space, there's some storage, we can do band practices, we can do leadership training. I mean, all the things that we have to do as a church, of course, it will serve us like that. But then there's this whole horizon, there's things that we can do in addition to that. We want to say, when we're in the office, our office is your office. It's the equivalent of mi casa, su casa. I don't know what a casa is equivalent for an office. What's an office in Spanish or whatever? Hello? Oficina. Mi oficina es su oficina. How's that? Is that okay? Boom. We want to say that when I'm in, or when Tan is in, or when there's something happen, it's not just for us. And people can come in, they're open desk spaces, it's got an amazing feel and vibe, there's some great music, there's coffee on tap, there's free internet. How much does it cost? It's free, just sit down, enjoy it. We're here for you. Have a meeting here with one of your colleagues. Come here and work a little bit. Come do your homework here, Pickering High around the corner. Come and have lunch here. When you leave school for 40 minutes, it's your recess, pop in here. Hang out with your friends. Just as it's open, we want to share it. And then we can do other initiatives. Of course, our Alpha course we can run here. It's 1,000 square feet. And I believe that things like book clubs and English hours for ESL people and open mic nights. And yesterday I spoke with Tim and Dave Treblecock, who supply our coffee, and they're so keen to do coffee cupping. They've got once a week ones lined up all through the fall. They said, we'd love to do it in this venue, to come in and do coffee tasting and show, just sharing our space with others. That's what it is. It's a shared space. In terms of finances, I've given you a pledge card, and I would love for you to pray and ask God, how can you make this happen? The broad overview is that we're above budget in terms of income, and so we will be about $15,000 in the plus at the end of the year if we compare our income now with what we've budgeted our monthly income to be, which is a great thing. So there's a bit of breathing room. There's about 4 months' worth of expenses in the bank. In addition to that, there's a three-month worth of expenses in a GIC account somewhere. And then there's a bit of a buffer in terms of discretionary giving that we can give. $3,000 has been set aside. We can throw that towards renovations. This is within our reach. But I want to call us to generosity because there's some renovations that would have to take place. We can take that out of some of the surplus capital that we have. But we want to just be wise and keep the bank balance as it is. Because we're a generous church. I've seen you give in phenomenal ways in the past. On one Sunday, we raised $5,000, $6,000. You're a generous church. I think in terms of renovations, around $12,000 is the very conservative estimate. But Dina said we could probably do it for six if we pull all our resources together. Let's peg it at 12. In terms of our monthly expenses, we're sitting with about $2,000 extra a month. And that's what this rental would cost us. And with our surplus of the year, it means that we probably would sit between 13 and 15,000 in a deficit if things stay the way it is. But we worked it out as leaders. If everybody just gives an extra 25 to 50 bucks a month, it means after the first year, we're square. And maybe you've been giving faithfully for a couple of years, but you've not increased your giving. You've had an increase at work. Maybe you've got a raise or you were promoted, but your giving may have stayed the same. This is time perhaps to go back to the drawing board and say, I think it's time to increase my giving. $25 to 50 bucks per person is not a big ask. But if everybody does that, maybe you've never given consistently as a church, as a member of this church, as a regular attender. Maybe this is an opportunity where God is saying to you, I want you to take your relationship with me to the next level. Show that you trust me and not trust your boss and your paycheck. Give. Give towards this initiative. Go back home, get on your knees, ask God. How much should you give? Perhaps it's a once-off towards renovations, but then there's also this monthly contribution. And do help us budget and plan as best as we can. The likelihood of us taking occupancy the 1st of October, the first week of October, is pretty high. We will get all hands on deck. We've got a team coming from Southlands in October and November that will help us renovate the basement and get it ready for band practices and storage and all those kinds of things. So people are on board, even from other relating churches, saying, we want to see you flourish midweek. Let's do this thing together. Enough on that. You've got the pledge card. Won't you pray and let us know? All right, here's the last thing that we are going to speak through this morning. If you're new at City Gates, 6 months, even a year, maybe you're not aware of this, but this church is kind of still in transition. We're still new kids on the block. We took on the leadership of this church. We took over from Mike and Edwina, who led it for 10 years prior to us. And I inherited an eldership team, a leadership team. It was Mike's leadership team. And when I joined the team even grew. It went from five elders to six elders, including myself. And it's a wonderful thing that Mike and Edwina are still in this church, still serving on this leadership team. We're writing history. Many people thought this would never work. And so it's a beautiful thing. It's not like I arrived and, okay, Mike, find somewhere else, go somewhere else. They've stayed on. They're vital members of this church. But what happened was I inherited a leadership team. And one of the first things that I knew, it's a bridge that we would cross, is that the leadership team in that present state, according to my convictions, is bigger than it needs to be. We're a church with, on average, 60 adults, 40 in the summer, 60, 70 adults in the other months. And it was a leadership team of 6 elders. And I felt in God that it was probably a little oversubscribed. And I knew that that would maybe even be the last thing, but one of the most difficult things that I would have to do as a mark of transition, mark of my leadership, my conviction for the next season. And we have arrived at that place. So today is also a leadership announcement, where I want to share with you just my reasons for asking some of the people on our eldership team to take a step back into another context for the next season of City Gates. And my reasons is, firstly, it is because of a team needs to be nimble, needs to be swift on its feet, particularly when we're small like this. We need to be able to make big decisions. Doug sent me an email this week. It's amazing. He's doing a training course on executives and leadership teams. And much of what I'd felt, I see there's some wisdom even in the secular world, but I didn't glean it from there. I felt this in God. But they say that smaller teams are more optimum. So I felt that this team needs to be optimized. There's also this thing that these are people that Mike have asked on. I've inherited them. I love every single one of them. But also, I have to have an opportunity where I can say, these are the men and women that I want around me in terms of my core eldership team. And so I need to have the liberty to do that as well. So it's more agile. It's more nimble. And also that as we perhaps shrink this eldership team, that it actually opens up avenue for leadership in other contexts. This is a sermon all on its own, but we believe as a church that only men can be elders. There's 2 offices in the local church, elders and deacons, and women can be deacons. Now, I'm not using the word pastor, because when we say the word pastor, we mean something completely different. When we say the word elder, we mean something else. It's a teaching moment for another day. But as we take this eldership team and fit it to the appropriate size for the next season, it actually opens up opportunities for leadership in other contexts. There are no officially ordained deacons. And even for women in leadership, it actually creates more lanes for people to run in. And so I'm excited about this, because at the same time, we are launching in October a leadership training track where we will be bringing new leaders through in different contexts other than an eldership team. And what happens is, if an eldership team is too large, there's no need for other leaders in other contexts. And you find that the elders do what perhaps deacons should be doing. And so it actually robs people of opportunities to lead and to serve. And so I want to open up the opportunities once again. And this is one of those tough steps that I need to take. I feel it's right for us to do. Luke chapter 6 and Mark chapter 3, Jesus goes up onto a mountain. He prays the whole night, and then he comes down and he says he chose the men that he wanted around him. And the 12 apostles were chosen there. So there's this revelation and this observation. This revelation, God, who do you want? And this observation. I've walked this tightrope for a long time. I know nobody can blame me and tell me that I have done this too quickly. It has been 2 years. You could probably accuse me that I've taken a little too long. But there's been this revelation, Jesus, who should it be? And then observation. I work alongside these men and women. And I've had to get to a stage where, you know, the revelation part is hard to dispute, but the observation one, you can easily say, you're a fool, you made a mistake. The fact is, we need to pull the trigger on this. It's not a great metaphor, you know, but you know what I'm trying to say. And so I have asked the Harts, the Dunleavys, and the Persards to take a step back for this next season, and they have been incredible. I just want to honor these couples. They have been so open-hearted. They've said what is best for City Gates is best for us. They have said whatever needs to get done. I want to honor Mike and Edwina, who in a sense were the first people who did this. Mike and Edwina said, we will step back and someone else can come in. Some snot-nosed young punk stranger can come in here and take this church that we have poured 10 years of in and take it wherever they feel God wants them to do. They have modeled it, and I know that as people have looked at them, the Persards, the Harts, and the Dunleavys have gained courage, saying, well, if they can do it and they're still here, then we can do it. This is another opportunity for this church to write history. What? There's leadership changes and everybody's still around? Everybody still high-five each other? They still serve? They still love? They still for this church? Yes, that's what the gospel does. And I'm so excited. Mike, won't you come up? I want to ask Mike to say a few things, and I'm going to ask these 3 couples to come up to the stage. And we want to thank them just for their awesomeness. Whoa. I might have to ask you to be replaced. As he falls, breaks his knees, and steps back.
Yeah. You know, a few years ago when we started talking about transitioning out, we had some very frank and open conversations. About 8 years in, I remember sitting down with the guys and saying, look, I need you guys to know that I probably won't be leading City Gates Church for the rest of my life. That's the first time I'd ever told them that. And they were just quite remarkably calm about it. And I just said, look, I'm not saying we're going to move away, but I just feel like there may be a season or a time where we've really run our course and that we probably need to hand off to somebody else. And I was always looking, I've always looked to the next generation. If you want to ask me what was the main reason why we felt we needed to step down or step back and change roles, was that I didn't feel like we were reaching the next generation like we needed to. And I've always dreamt of this being a multi-generational church. Not with everybody looking kind of around my age, but we want to see young people. We want to see, you know, young adults. We want to see our kids have a church that they can grow up embracing. And so when we, you know, we met Vic and Tan and we realized that transition was going to happen, you know, I spoke to the guys specifically. They said, look, we need to understand this. There is a very good opportunity at some point that we won't be on the next eldership team, and I included myself in that conversation. And I asked them straight point blank, would you guys be okay if Vic wanted to change the makeup of the team? And they all resoundingly said, we're in. Mm. And I just thought that it was unbelievable. I have been part of church messes in my life where churches' leadership teams are reconfigured because there's been adultery, or there's been dispute, or there's been rivalry, and there's been all those things. I just want to tell you, these are incredibly honorable men and their wives. Just stand up, guys. Just want to honor you, just personally. Doug and Faye, stand together, guys. Tom and Tina, Justin and Leslie, I would trust you guys with my life. You are honorable, you are loyal, you are incredible human beings. And I just want to thank you for walking with us through the years. You know, when we transitioned out, I remember saying in my little mini speech as we handed off, I remember saying to Vic and Tan, you know, I'm not going to be defined by I'm the guy that used to lead City Gates Church. You're not going to be defined by you, the guy that used to be a pastor in London Road and used to be a pastor at God First. We are redefined by Jesus in new seasons. And I just want to say that you will be redefined in this new season because of who you are. You are incredible people that I owe so much to, and we owe as a team so much to. Yeah. So I just want to thank you personally and just say how much I love and honor you all. You guys are awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Mike. Guys, stay standing because it's nice. Yeah, let's give them.
Please. Thank you.
So I want to echo what Mike is saying, is that into the future, and just so you guys know, this is not a life sentence. This is just a change for the next season. God works in seasons. And there could be new things that they could explore in God at City Gates that we don't even know of. We can't even dream of. But I want to tell you that we are still standing on your shoulders. We are still standing on the investments that you've made into the foundations of this church long before Tan and I even knew you existed. And I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for being so generous. You know, even these guys, they all push back. Please don't do a public thing. Please don't give us a gift. It's not, they're amazing. That is a sign of phenomenal. That in itself is like actually, we step back, but we don't want to make a hoo-ha. That's an incredible thing. It's to be commended. And so we went ahead and broke the rules anyway. We're making this public. We're honoring you in front of everybody. We want everybody to know that we love and appreciate you. And that's, this is obviously a decision that I made in terms of the next season moving forward. And you have modeled submission and you're modeling sacrifice. And you're still leading. You're still leading in this moment. I want to thank you so much. We've got a gift for you guys.
Can I just add one thing to that?
Yeah, add one thing.
You know, in the whole thing about being an elder or a pastor, whatever it is, I always say this. Edwina and I do what we do regardless of whether we're titled. Whether we're titled or not, if I was not an elder in this church, my house would still be full of people. We'd still be doing hospitality. We'd still be spreading the gospel. These guys will still serve Jesus exactly the same way, even though they may not be, have specifically the same role that they've had to this point. And I really think that, for me, is the deal. You don't do something because you're titled. You do something because you're so thankful for what Jesus has done for you. And out of that response, you give your life for the gospel. And they will continue to do that.
Absolutely. Guys, can I invite you up on the stage, because we want to give you a little something. Maybe make your way around that side. Each of you is a couple. We've got a few things in here, and we want you to, I guess, look back every time you pour yourself maybe a cup of coffee or you cuddle under a blanket, and you can just always think of this moment. Man, you know, we're loved and appreciated. And remember a season, and of course we're always in favor of couples cuddling, so do make use of that. But that's for you guys. This is for you guys. These are handpicked. Sorry, okay. These are for you guys, and this is for you. Will you guys be comfortable just saying something? I'll pass the mic across. I'll start over here with Just.
Sure, everything, they've pretty much summed it up for the most part, but, you know, we just want, I want you guys to know that, you know, this process absolutely needed to happen. It is the right decision for this church to move forward, and, you know, we put full confidence. You know, for me personally, Mike and Lawrence have been like big brothers to me the whole time through anyway. So, you know, I look up to these guys. This is a solid leadership team, and... this is good for City Gates, and we're not going anywhere. So what Mike said at the end is completely what I would have shared, is the fact that just because we're not on eldership really doesn't change what we do in front of you guys and what our home looks like and how, you know, we are involved in the process and commitment to City Gates. So
thanks,
we love
Josh.
You guys. That's it.
Thanks, Josh. Yeah.
That's good. I was talking with, I think it was the Prasads the other night, saying, as a parent, I take the responsibility quite seriously, and it's been a pleasure being a parent. And as I was driving over here today, I thought the same thing. The last decade that we've served here, I took it very seriously, and it's just a great honor and pleasure, and I just love all of you, and nothing's going to change. So, yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I think, actually, we didn't rehearse any of this. We didn't plan it. But I think that, as I reflected of, why does this feel so easy? Why does this feel so right? You know, like, it doesn't feel dramatic or heavy at all. And I think it's because when you're, I remember 10, maybe years ago, we had a guest ministering in the church, and he had a number of us stand up at the front, and he made us do this declaration that I'll be a spiritual father in this house. I don't know if you guys remember that. It was when we were in the school in Oshawa. And I guess when you look at being a parent as a privilege and an honor, I often tell God, I'm so thankful for my kids and for the honor and privilege of being a parent. You don't feel it like this heavy duty thing. There are days you do, but as a general rule, I've never felt that. And same with this, you know, being in the church, it's like, you know, because an elder is a father. That's what it is in a family like this. And so I think that's probably why it just feels natural and easy. And the second half, of course, is because we absolutely trust, you know, Lawrence and Mike and Vic and their wives, because we've been with them long enough to know their heart. Not the way God knows a man's heart, but you know what I mean? So it just feels easy.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
I guess for me, it was just the whole concept of seasons.
Yeah.
And that was what I was on my mind the last few days. Mike had talked about seasons many years ago with the youth, and I'd always had left impact on me that, you know, every time I look at a banana in my house and it's green, I go, it's going to be good, but it's not in season yet. That there are seasons in your life. And I was totally amazed today that a verse I had read 1,000 times, God spoke to me. It was verse 6 of your preach. Mm-hmm. It said that the Father, for me, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father as fixed in his own authority. And I just think that these seasons, seasons for the church, the season for all of you, you know, there are seasons in your life. My daughter got a job this week. That's a new season for Aaron. Yeah, you know, and these are seasons, they're new chapters. And I just think that these are, that as sons and daughters of God the Father, that we trust God that these next seasons, whether it be for the church or personally, are always from the Father's heart going to be a great season. Mm. You know, the whole concept, those were the good old times, I've discovered in my life is a waste of time. Mm. That those times have gone, but the future, the people are getting saved in your future, right? People are coming to Alpha in our future. Strategy is always in the future. And was this an easy road to no, it's not an easy road. We can be honest. You know, there's things that you come and go in your life. And God is generous. He gives you time. You know, I had lots of time to think about this. And tease Vic, yes, you gave us lots of time to think about it. But, you know, it was good time. And it was time to journey through something. Because being an elder, for any of you out there, maybe that's a calling on your life in the future, it is significant. It's very significant. It's the center of what God's put on your heart at times. So I just want to thank Vic and Mike and the team. And I just think we're going to have a great future ahead of us. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Thank you, guys. Hey, can we give them a massive appreciation? Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Well, Jesus, we want to honor you, our great shepherd, for leading us and walking with us. And thank you for refreshing us this morning, setting us back on track, this course, this mission you've given us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to live this out, that it not be just something that we say, a sermon that is available for download online, but let it be the actions and the attitudes of our hearts as well. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. See you in the foyer for some coffee.